Studio 360.
About a century ago, the modern promotional idea of Florida was invented. The permanent sunny vacation on the beach, the south of France tropical razzle-dazzle Art Deco fantasies, followed by the Disney World, Miami Vice, Mar-a-Lago, Art Basel fantasies. But there is also, as everywhere, poverty and struggle, depicted beautifully in a couple of excellent recent films. There was The Florida Project, which follows a few exuberant, off-the-leash kids who live in a candy-colored, low-rent motel in the shadow of Disney World.
Your kid killed my night. I wanted to watch the ball game. You're gonna pay me for 3 hours that I gotta work later?
Hey, guys, pay the man for his 3 hours.
I don't have any money.
We don't have any money, you're shit out
of rich. You haven't given me this week's rent yet.
You don't think I know that, chill.
And then there was Moonlight, a coming-of-age film about growing up poor and black and gay in Miami.
What's a faggot?
A faggot is a word used to make gay people feel bad.
Am I a faggot?
No. You could be gay, but you never let nobody call you no faggot.
And then, in addition to all that, there is one of my favorite social media achievements called Florida Man.
Florida Man tries to walk out of store with chainsaw stuffed down his pants.
That is a tweet from the account @_FloridaMan. Don't leave out the underscore. It's a Twitter feed that shares perversely, darkly funny news stories about unfortunate people in Florida. Not all of the men, not all of them crime stories.
Florida man terrifies vacationing family with gunfire meant for iguana.
We talked to the creators of Florida Man, who declined to be interviewed on the air because they're anonymous. So, Florida. But they did say that the feed is inspired by news satire tropes like The Onion's Area Man does X, Y, or Z. The Florida Man Twitter account started in 2013 and now has nearly 400,000 followers.
Florida man forced to apologize on Facebook for cannibaling on a manatee.
On today's show, the Florida state of mind. A certain kind of Florida state of mind.
I never wanted to write about Florida, but the thing is, you don't actually get to choose what you write about.
The novelist and short story writer Lauren Groff never imagined herself living in Florida. And then, 12 years ago, ended up there. And by the way, a large majority of Floridians come from someplace else, the third most of any state.
When I first came down here, I was astonished by how nature seemed to want to kill you at every turn. The mosquitoes, the palmettos are sharp, so you go out into the yard and they cut up your ankles. The alligators, there are all sorts of very weird insects. I mean, they call them palmetto bugs, but they're really just flying cockroaches that are about 3 inches long. There are snakes everywhere. I just had a snake in the house. I stood for a long time at the duck pond with my dog, who sensed that she should be still and patient. The swans were on their island with the geese, and a great blue heron legged through the shallow water. I watched as the heron became a statue, then as it whipped its head down and speared something. When it lifted its beak, it held a long, thin water snake. We watched, transfixed, as the bird cracked its head down so hard 3 times that the snake separated in half, spilling blood. And the heron swallowed one half, which was still so alive that I could see it thrashing down that long and elegant throat. So the nature is just teeming, and it's wild, and it's almost uncontrollable. It feels as though it's a force of its own that makes its way into your house whether or not you want it to. And in some ways, it seems as though Florida is trying to tell humans that you really don't belong here. I'm from a very small town in upstate New York called Cooperstown, which most people know about because it's where the Baseball Hall of Fame is. It's just a stunningly beautiful place. And it's a place, you know, that has very severe standard seasons. And it's a very small village as well. It was kind of idyllic. I think when you grow up in upstate New York or in the North, you tend to see Florida as this hot, moist, strange place, this place where it foments a lot of the craziness of America. I looked down on Florida for many, many years. When I first started dating my husband, we were in college in Massachusetts, and he is a Floridian, bred to the bone. And we came down to Florida to visit his family. And what I knew of Florida was basically Disney World at that time. And his family home, which is in this subdivision, it's very nice, but it is a gated community, and it's very separate from the rest of the town. And there are no sidewalks. And I thought, this is just a very strange mode of life. And I think that was the first thing I said when we were on the plane going back to Western Massachusetts, was, I will never live in Florida. After grad school, he had this opportunity to take over his family business down in Gainesville, Florida. And so we made the decision to come down here. I tucked two bottles and a corkscrew into my sleeves and pulled myself to the doorway against the tug of wind. I could barely walk when I was through. The house heaved around me and the wind followed, overturning clocks and chairs, paging through the sheet music on the piano before snatching it up and carrying it away. It riffled through my books one by one as if searching for marginalia, then toppled the bookshelves. This book is called Florida, and it's my fifth book. It's a short story collection built around the idea of Florida and the physical nature of the place and how it sort of infects its characters within this book with a kind of feeling of both dread and resistance to being domesticated. There's this pressure, this internal and external force of domesticity, but also resistance to domesticity, the seduction of nature. The water pushed upward from under the house, through the floor cracks, through the vents, turning my rugs into marshes. Rats scampered up the stairs to my bedroom. I trudged over the mess and crawled up, step by step, on my hands and knees. A terrapin passed me, then a raccoon with a baby clutched to its back, gazing at me with wide robber's eyes. "Peekaboo," I said, and it hid its face in its mother's ruff. In the light of a battery-powered alarm clock, I saw rats, a snake, a possum, a heap of bugs scattered across the room, as if gathered for a slumber party. All those gleaming eyes in the dark. The bathroom was the sole windowless place at the heart of the house, and when I was inside, I locked them all out. I didn't know I was writing a short story collection about Florida until about 2 years ago, when I took a look at all the stories that I'd published over the past few years. And I realized that they had a shared thematic sense of insiderness and outsiderness, of nature and domesticity, of Florida itself, sometimes tangentially as a character. And then I thought about how I could put them together to create a larger argument about the country as a whole and about what it is to be a woman raising boys in this contemporary world. In February, one day, I found myself sad to the bone. A man had been appointed to take care of the environment, even though his only desire was to squash the environment like a cockroach. I was thinking about the world my children will inherit. The clouds of monarchs they won't ever see. the underwater sound of the mouths of small fish chewing the living coral reefs that they will never hear. Becoming a Floridian was a really difficult transition for me. I still, even now, 12 years later, wake up thinking, oh my gosh, this is my life. I live in Florida. But I really do love what Florida gives me because I feel so ambivalent about it. And I think ambivalence is a very strong, beautiful drive in fiction because people think that it's wishy-washiness, but it's the opposite. It's being pulled in many directions by incredibly powerful forces. And some of my forces are rooted deeply in dislike, and other ones are in profound adoration and love. And so think of me as a spider suspended between all of these really intense feelings about this place where I've ended up despite myself. She was once a northerner dazzled by the frenzied flora and fauna here. But that was a decade ago, and things that once were alien life have become simply parts of her life. She is no longer frightened of reptiles, she who is frightened of everything. She is frightened of climate change. This summer, the hottest on record, plants dying all around. She is frightened of the small sinkhole that opened in the rain yesterday near the southeast corner of her house. And maybe the shy, exploratory first steps of a much larger sinkhole. She is frightened of her children because now that they've arrived in the world, she has to stay here for as long as she can. But not longer than they do.
That story was produced by Studio 360's Lauren Hansen. Lauren Groff's latest story collection is called Florida, and it is out now.